My first guests this morning are some very special people. I've got five women crammed in the studio with me. This may be a record. They're members of Your Song, a local choir, a very special and different kind of choir. And who is here with me are Margie Hughes, Judy Tarbett, Roberta Moore, Jeanette Scott, and Patty Blair. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
So, first of all, let's tell our listeners why Your Song is different, what kind of choir this is. Margie?
Hollis, there's a gal named Therese Sanchez that actually started this in 2006. And she was with two other gals, and she's a wonderful singer, and she wanted to do service with her voice. So she and these two other gals just started to think about what songs would be lovely in nursing homes and bedside kind of things. So they started, and then Deb and Barbara dropped off. Barbara invited me in. I invited friends. We invited friends. We ended up having about 25 women. But what we do is we sing for people who are sick and dying as opposed to performance. We're not into performance in any way. So it's a deeply service-oriented group.
It's a kind of group that is similar to a threshold choir that started by Kate Munger. The threshold choirs are throughout the country and do similar work. Go to the bedside of the sick and dying, work often hand-in-hand with hospice and in hospital settings. And here I understand you guys sing at the cancer center and the hospital and also for hospice in the home.
Right. Hollis, we work closely with Amber Care. It's the main hospice we're working with now. And via Amber Care, we sing at Kingston, Rosemont Nursing Home, El Castillo now. We sing in private homes if we are requested to do that. We sing at memorials and funerals. We did one thing. We have... Santa Fe Care is our main
nursing home,
for sure.
That you sing at on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Well, so people know what we're talking about. I want to mention that this kind of singing isn't full-on voice singing. It's very soft and soothing sort of singing. So I'm going to have them sing for you. What song are you going to sing first?
We'll start with a really soft one. If we're at a bedside and someone is really sleepy, this is the one we would pull. This is one of them that we would put on. So this is called Easy, Rest Easy.
Easy, rest easy. Let every trouble drift away. Easy, rest easy. Love enfolds you and holds you safe. Easy, rest easy. Let every trouble drift away. Easy, rest easy. Love enfolds you and holds you safe.
Yay, that was beautiful. Thank you. So I noticed two things about that song. One is that first you sang the song through in unison, and then you broke into harmony. Is that one of the ways that... Do you always do that?
Do we?
Very often.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we even have a single voice start a song, and then the group comes in. So.
And you always sing a cappella?
Yes.
And I'll bet a lot of you actually have other singing or musical backgrounds. Do you sing in choirs or do other kinds of choirs and do things?
I think most of us at least had training in school or something like that, that we learned singing in now this is a comfortable place to sing together.
Judy, did you tell me where you sang before you did this?
I sang in, well, I was a product of Catholic education, so I sang a lot in church and in grade school, high school, college, and then, of course, singing folk music in the 60s and things like that.
Right. Anybody else?
None of us are really professional. This is kind of what this group is about. It's just we love to sing. My background is I actually was in the convent and played in a folk group.
Wait a minute, go back. You were in the convent?
I was.
You're a former nun?
I am indeed.
Wow, and I'm going to have to clean up my language around you, Margie.
Please don't. I've changed totally.
A singing nun, of course.
Nun. Yes, and but really that's a big thing. We're not looking for a professional, you know, singers who are bandstanding. We kind of hide into each other so we can sing quietly.
Somebody tell me about how it works. How does your organization work? How often do you rehearse? How do you go out and sing? How does that work?
Well, we practice a couple of evenings per month. And then there are the group of 25 or so break down into smaller groups to go to different venues and sing there. There's a group that goes to the cancer center. There's a group that goes to the hospital. There's a group that goes primarily to the Santa Fe Cares. There's a group that specializes more or less in hospice singing. And, of course, they sing in a variety of venues. And there's a lot of cross-pollination, too, where, you know, one may sing in several of these groups. But that's and it's kind of fluid, too, because sometimes we'll pick up another venue. And sometimes situations change where we may discontinue or kind of slow down on singing at a particular venue. But I think those are pretty much the most solid areas. So we'll go out in groups of, you know, two or three or six or eight or 12 to present in these different venues.
So if somebody who has
not
a full
to present.
To sing.
And again, that's the point. It's not about.
It's not performance.
It's definitely.
It's about.
You know, when we go to the nursing homes, we like to do sing-along kinds of things. Mm. You know, we sometimes go to memory units, and then we like to sing songs that everyone remembers. And sometimes the people who can't have trouble remembering anything will be so enlivened by these old songs that they remember and all the ambiance for them that goes with it. And they'll, you know, wake up and dance and sing with us.
Yeah.
And
so
it's very dear.
Yeah. We know this is true, that people who have dementia and Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia often can no longer speak, but they can still access that musical part of their brains. Mm. And I had a friend whose mother, long after she could no longer speak, could sit down and play the piano in the nursing home where she lived. Mm. You know, so she, so music touches us and reaches us on a different level and in a different way, even in a different place in our brain. So let's have another song.
Well, that's perfect. Let's do Bye Bye Blackbird.
All
because
right.
This is one we pull out at the nursing homes and so many people sing along. So,
and our listeners can sing along this morning, too.
Please do. Please do.
Okay, everybody get on your mic.
Pack up all my cares and woe. Here I go, singing low. Bye, bye, blackbird. Where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, so is she. Bye, bye, blackbird. No one here can love and understand me. Oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. Make my bed and light the light. I'll arrive late tonight. blackbird, bye-bye. Pack up all my cares and woe, here I go, singing low. Bye-bye, blackbird. Where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, so is she. Bye, bye, blackbird. No one here can love and understand me. Oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. Make my bed and light the light. I'll arrive late tonight. Blackbird, bye-bye.
Wow, and you're not professional, as you keep saying. The engineer, Mary Lynn LeBlanc, is in there clapping in the window.
Thank you.
That was really beautiful, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me some about the experiences you've had singing to people. How do people respond? Sometimes you're singing to patients. Sometimes you're singing to patients and families. Sometimes you're singing to patients and families and staff members, I would imagine, are benefiting as well. Anything?
Yesterday we sang at the hospital, and there was an elderly man all bundled up. And we were requested to go into that room. And we started singing, and his smile just lit up the room. We sang three songs, and we said, well, should we sing another? And his wife said, well, maybe he needs to rest. And he goes, no, one more, one more.
What was the one more?
I can't remember what we sang.
Mm-hmm. It might have been Bye Bye Blackbird.
Yes, I think he liked those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd like to talk about how when someone is actually on the point of passing, this is some of our, you know, we have many, many precious moments, and it's very rich for us to do this. Often the family is very confused. You know, it's such an unusual and such an emotional time. What am I to feel? What is going on here? How can this be? Mm-hmm. And sometimes if we just, we sing kind of spiritual songs to kind of orient people to the process of dying, both the person who's passing to ease their passage. And it seems to help the families to let go.
Yes.
When we sing these songs. And you can feel relief all through the room. And sometimes release of tears. But they'll change from fear into something more abundant.
Yeah. In my experience as a chaplain, there's this huge argument that's going on with us. Both the person who's witnessing the death of another and the person who's dying is very hard work. You know, it's basically a battle between, to me in some ways, a battle between the body and the soul. You know, the body is, we are hardwired to stay here, and your body's trying to stay alive, and in some way your spirit is ready to go. And so there's this very huge tension, and everyone who's witnessing it is a part of that because, of course, they don't want their loved one to suffer, whatever the circumstances, but neither are they ready necessarily to let that person go. And so when you come in and sing, you know, you're allowing them, I would imagine, to connect with that deepest part of them where it is okay. What's happening is okay in the natural part of life. Mm. You know, and so it makes it easier, I think. You know, I have to share with the listeners that when you guys came in and we did the sound check, they sang a song, and of course I had to cry immediately because you so immediately pushed that button in me that connected me to my own feelings and where I am.
Why, Alice, you're so right on. Thank you. Thank you so much. Here is a song that we actually do at the bedside in the dying process. Okay. It's exactly what you just described. Let's do Beautiful Gate.
Hmm. Watching and waiting by that beautiful gate, its welcoming door opens just for you. You can't arrive early, and you can't arrive late. Watching and waiting by that beautiful gate. Watching and waiting by that beautiful gate. It's welcoming door opens just for you. You can't arrive early, and you can't arrive late. Watching and waiting by that beautiful gate.
Thank you, ladies. I want to let any listeners who just joined us know that you're listening to Your Song, a wonderful choir here in Santa Fe of all women who sing at the bedside of the sick and dying in nursing homes, at the hospital, at the cancer center, at memory units around town, and also at the bedside in private homes. And I was struck by the fact that you don't really sing a lot of religious songs, do you?
Who wants to?
Well, there's occasional times when, especially some, we have some of the Spanish hymns, and some of the older people really do like certain religious songs, but we're a little hesitant to do anything that's too denominational unless we really know that person's denomination. We have some Jewish songs, we have some Hindu songs, some Buddhist songs, a lot of Christian songs. We do some of the old hymns at times.
Like Amazing Grace, things that, that people
yes.
are familiar
yeah.
with.
Mm-hmm. But in general, we try to keep it less denominational unless we're really sure that this person wants that song. You
know? There are a lot of, so you're singing, though, a lot of spiritual songs
yeah.
that are not specifically religious.
People often ask us if we are a church choir uh-huh. that comes, and we're not. The members of the group adhere to an immense variety of spiritual practices, and or not, and so you know we see it all as one.
I think I'm reminded of something that Dalai Lama said about belief, and so I'm suspecting that you're all members of the Church of Love. And also, I noticed that in one of the earlier songs, which I didn't point out at the time, that you sang, first you sang a verse in English, and then you sang it in Spanish. Do you do that very often?
Very. Well, we have
several songs.
Several songs that we do that with. So, yes. And we'd love to do one for you.
Oh, you have a Spanish song in your hat? Or
well,
one with some Spanish?
The one we're going to end with, that has the Spanish
okay.
piece. So.
Well, we'll wait just a minute for that, because we're not quite at the end here.
Okay.
I wanted to put out there to any listeners who are interested that you are always open to new people. Is that right?
It isn't always, Hollis. It's a little bit difficult to bring new people in, you know, in the middle of the year because of rehearsals, and we have so many songs to learn. So we generally open our membership in January and July.
Okay.
But I'm more than happy to take a phone call and find out who's interested and tell people more
Margie's number for anybody who might be interested in your song is 982-1739. You can call her and she'll tell you more about the organization and how you might become involved. Margie, do you have to be able to read music?
Very good. No, really, many of us do not. The ones who do help a lot, we have at our rehearsals, we have a piano if we need that, but mostly we all learn by ear, I would say.
And that's great. And you don't really have, it sounds like, a leader.
Correct.
You're kind of a leader. You're sort of the administrator, but you sort of share some of your responsibility?
Yes. Bertie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all a group of volunteers. We're all volunteers. And the responsibilities, you know, of course, there's always some who are more and some who are less.
And you know, this reminds me of something that's been around my mind, which is that when we sing too, and it's a cellular healing, and a cellular healing not only for us as the singers, but the people we're singing to. Mm. And so I think it's really important that we're always coming together as a group and breathing the same breath and sensing what is needed next.
So say more about that. You know, you're not, there's something you get out of this that you don't get out
Absolutely.
Of being in an ordinary choir.
Absolutely. It comes to mind someone we sang to yesterday who had a tremendous operation, and they were not totally back with us. And yet in standing around her and singing, I felt that there was a healing within her body, and as much as we can bring that out of our own systems to share through our voice, the more there's a cohesive, active interchange between the patient and the singing.
It's a single circuit.
Yeah. Yes.
There's this energy
great.
Going out and energy coming in on both sides. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I experience that a lot as a chaplain as well. So I've been talking with Margie Hughes, Judy Tarbett, Roberta Moore, Jeanette Scott, and Patty Blair, all of the Santa Fe Choir called Your Song. If you're interested in finding out more about it, you can call Margie at 982-1739. And I'm going to have them sing one last song, and we're going to dedicate this to my dear friend Stephen Parks, who is ill. So thank you all for being here. Take it
away.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Hollis.
Be well, Stephen.
This is called I Am Sending You Light.
I am sending you light to heal you, to hold you. I am sending you light to hold you in love. I am sending you sending you light to hold you in love. Invocamos la luz, abrazarte y amarte. Invocamos la luz, la luz del amor.
Thank you all so much. That was Your Song. We're going to take a break. Please stay tuned to the Radio Cafe.